I'm Kristen Collins. I'm the Vice President of the ASPCA's Behavioral Rehabilitation Center.
So this is in Weaverville. My first question is, tell me about the center. Second question is, how it landed in Weaverville.
The center is a place where we are helping dogs that are extremely fearful learn how to become pets. Most of them come from cruelty cases, like hoarding cases and puppy mill cases. So what we do here is we bring them in, and they're physically healthy when they get to us, but they need behavioral care. So we put into place a treatment program to slowly acclimate them to all the things that they'll experience in a pet home, because many have never seen a pet home before. They have no idea what that's like, and if you put them directly into that environment, it's terrifying for them. So that's our goal here, to bring in those extremely fearful, under-socialized dogs and prepare them for life in pet homes.
How is, and I know, I mean, there probably isn't a number yet, but how common is that? Is it a growing problem? Is it something that has always been there and there just wasn't a place for these dogs? Like, kind of what would happen to these dogs if otherwise you didn't have this?
This facility is, as far as we know, the first and only facility dedicated strictly to this kind of work. We don't know if it's a growing problem. I don't have data on that specifically, but I can tell you that we have, since we started this work, we've always had a waiting list. It appears to be a pretty widespread problem. It may be because public awareness has increased over the past few years about things like hoarding cases. I think, you know, a decade ago, people didn't know what a hoarding case was, really. So it's possible that the reason we're seeing more and more of these animals enter shelters is because we're simply more aware of the problem out there. But there are often these cases are large-scale cases, anywhere from 100 to, one of our hoarding cases was over 600 cats. So there are a number of animals that can be suddenly without a home when we do cases like these cases. And at that point, you take them out of that environment, and if they happen to be lucky enough to be behaviorally sound to the point that they can come from this environment where they've been very under-socialized and go directly into a home and acclimate, that's great. But there's always a percentage, sometimes it's a small percentage, sometimes it's a depressingly large percentage, that aren't behaviorally prepared to go into home environments. So what we were doing, the reason we started this project is because we were in the field as a team of behaviorists called the Anti-Cruelty Behavior Team. And the ASPCA Field Investigations and Response Team was going into the field doing these puppy mill and hoarding cases, and that team of behaviorists was going with them to provide behavioral support. And what we realized was that we didn't have anywhere to treat the dogs. That's why we started this program, because we thought, all right, well, we were treating their veterinary wounds and we're helping them get better, and that way we're taking them out of this terrible environment. But if we can't put them in homes, if they're not going to be able to go into homes, we need to take an extra step to rescue them, to make sure that we are giving them the best chance that they can possibly have. So that's why we decided to do this project. And that was after we'd had several cases where we thought, oh, there are too many of these dogs that are not able to go into homes.
And the initial program kind of started in New Jersey.
What we did was we partnered with St. Hubert's Animal Welfare Center in Madison, New Jersey. They're a wonderful organization, and we had 30 kennel runs on their campus. And when we were there, it was a four-year pilot project. When we were there, they helped us out with husbandry, and we just did the behavioral modification and collected our data so that we could say, all right, we have shown that we can help these dogs. Let's make this a permanent part of our work. So that was the purpose of the pilot project. I'm so impressed with the resilience of those dogs. It was wonderful to see them recover.
How do you find, because I'm sure when you're in like a hoarding case or you're doing some sort of rescue, all the dogs must look scared. What stands out that makes that dog qualify to come here?
Usually when dogs come here, they've been at an organization for a little while. Sometimes it's been a few weeks, sometimes it's been a few months, and in some cases it's even been a few years. So what happens is the way we screen dogs to come in is that we have a questionnaire. And the organization that has a fearful dog who hasn't been able to adopt the dog out because of the fearful behavior will fill out the questionnaire, and we will review the questionnaire that has a lot of questions about fear and aggression in different contexts. And that's how we screen the dogs. We have a list of criteria for inclusion in our program. So that's how we figure out which dogs should come here. And if they come from our own cases, we might do a behavior evaluation in the field. So we'll take them out, all of the dogs come out of that hoarding case, for example, we'll take them, we'll put them in a temporary shelter, give them a few days to acclimate, And then we'll do a behavior evaluation that will help us determine which dogs need our care before they can go into homes. Because it's true, they are often, all of them, frightened after the extreme change of coming from that terrible environment and suddenly being somewhere else, anywhere else, really. So it's after a few days, it's pretty clear which dogs are going to come around and which aren't. There aren't any specific predictors, though. That's something that we found. It's sometimes you really can't tell in those early stages. So we do our best doing a behavior evaluation that exposes the dogs to all the things that they would experience in pet homes. Like we'll try to call them, play with them, pet them. And if they respond really dramatically, very fearfully to any of those things, it's a clue that they might need our care here.
What, tell me the approach. So I know when a dog comes into a shelter, there's usually some sort of protocol just to help them. You know, their volunteers come and walk them and you try to socialize them. But this is very different. And so what happens when a dog comes in here that as opposed to like a regular shelter and getting ready to go into the adopting area?
When dogs come in here, they experience the first few weeks where they get enrichment only. So they get and enrichment is designed to stimulate all their senses. There are different kinds of enrichment, olfactory enrichments. We give them fun smells to smell and feeding enrichment like food puzzle toys. So they get just enrichment for the first few weeks because we found that actually they seem to progress more quickly through the treatment protocols if they have a period of time where they can chill out and we don't actually do anything except for give them enrichment. So they come in, they have a few weeks of just enrichment only, and then we start our treatment program. And our treatment program has about 32 protocols in it that are all focused on helping dogs get used to socializing with people, walking on leash and being leashed, and being handled. So all of those protocols, they go through all of these protocols, and they have 15 minutes of treatment, 5 days a week, and then 2 days off where they just get enrichment. And what we do is track their progress all along the way. And we have some very specific guidelines for when they're ready to graduate. So we will meet and review their cases on a weekly basis. And as they progress, then we'll decide, okay, you're ready to go. And then from there, when we say, all right, you dog are ready to graduate, that dog will go to a partner shelter. And that's where they go up for adoption. In the beginning, it's very simple. We just want the dog to eat really high-value, tasty food in our presence. Some of the initial treatment sessions are just us sitting there in the dog's kennel or in another environment and giving the dog cheese, and that's all we're doing. We work up from there to things like hand targeting, where we put our hands out and the dogs touch the palm of your hand with the nose. That helps dogs learn to have contact with people and also meet people they don't know. And then we'll work on things like getting them used to a leash reaching toward them. But you're right, it's baby steps. We take these very, very small steps as they progress because if you don't, often you won't make any progress at all because the fear is too intense. So we've broken it down into really small steps, and a trainer friend of mine likened it to how exciting it is to watch paint dry. It is not the most exciting type of protocol. But what is exciting is watching them change over time. And often if we will video the beginning, the baseline behavior, and then look at the way the dog is when the dog graduates, it's like two different dogs. It's amazing how different they are. So the progress is slow, but it's over time, about 13 weeks on average, an immense amount of change.
Are there some dogs who go early, some dogs who you're like, you're not ready?
Definitely. We have outliers on both ends of the scale. So we've got dogs who will zoom through in 3 weeks, and then some dogs who will be with us for 20 plus weeks, just depending on how fast they progress. And we will keep them in the program as long as they're making progress we can track. So we'll keep working with them even if they're going along slowly. But you're right, there's some dogs who will go way faster through the program. And like I said, there aren't any predictors we've found. So it's shocking when that happens. Some dogs will come in and they'll show extremely fearful behavior and you try to leash them and they'll lose control of their bladder and bowels. And a few weeks later, they're able to graduate, which is, it's absolutely incredible to see those that are the really fast cases like that. It's amazing.
What are some of the common sort of, not personality types, but issues that you see?
All of these dogs coming from the impoverished environments, they tend to have problems with a few categories of things. There are four main categories of things. Socializing with people is one of them. So whenever anybody tries to approach, talk to them, sometimes even just look at them, they will have extreme responses. So all the things that we would do to soothe the fearful dogs, you know, speak quietly, stroke them, be calm, come cuddle with me, I will make you feel better. All of that's horrifying to these dogs because they're just not used to socializing with people. So that's one of the big triggers. Another problem is handling, being touched by people, familiar people or unfamiliar people. They've never been petted before, a lot of them. So that's another thing we work on. And then leashing and walking on a leash. That's a really tricky one for these dogs who've never experienced that. Imagine how it would feel to have the pressure of a leash around your neck if you've never felt it before. I'm sure they think we're trying to kill them. So they often do a thing we call gator rolling. When they feel the pressure of the leash, they'll panic and thrash around on the ground and roll over and over and over, just in complete terror. That's a terrible thing to see. So that's a major problem we work on. And then also novelty is the last category of things they have problems with. So we work exposure to novelty, novel people, novel places, petting by novel people walking you on leash. We work that into all of our protocols at the end. That's one of the biggest reasons why we need a volunteer force, because we need dogs to be able to experience novel things. And that is really the most tricky part, in my opinion, of treatment for them, because that exposure to novelty is something they've never had to deal with, being in those isolated environments where nothing ever changed.
You learned things that work and don't work that you brought here, and then what do you hope to learn? It must be a constant learning environment. I feel like this is a big lab as well as a place to help dogs.
Yes, it is definitely a lab for sure. And we did learn a lot of things in New Jersey. The biggest thing we learned was that so many of the dogs, as you said, were able to graduate. That was the biggest, most amazing and wonderful lesson. But we also honed our procedures while we were there. When we started implementing the protocols, certainly some things worked, some things didn't. We discovered a lot of tweaks and tricks in order to help the dogs progress more quickly. And what we want to do now, what we hope for in the future, is to share all of those things. We worked with so many of these dogs that we realized the best thing to do to maximize the impact of our work is to teach what we learned to other shelters who are seeing these animals, because they are coming from all over the place. And if we can teach other shelters to implement our protocols, then there will be more places for them to go. So we are actually launching a thing called the Learning Lab, it turns out. That's the teaching piece of what we are doing now.